Welcome to our non-sleepy episode 15 from Digital Outbox. Well, hello, I'm a Mac.
I'm a Mac too.
And I'm not going to get drawn into your juvenile antics.
What a child.
Boo.
Exactly, boo.
So anyway, hopefully this will be a non-sleepy version of our episode this week.
Speak for yourself.
I am.
Was wide awake last week.
And so how's everybody doing? Wide awake?
Well, I'm okay today. If you'd spoken to me yesterday, I wasn't in a very good mood.
You were such a ranty mood yesterday.
Oh, I was in a foul mood. And Adobe just pushed me over some edge.
Well, I'm just pleased it wasn't Apple for a change. You know, there is other companies that you do vent on.
Yeah. No, they stopped me doing anything yesterday. They took away all of my Adobe programs for no apparent reason. So thank you very much. Took me all day to solve that.
So when you say like every program, is that every licensed Adobe program you had failed?
Any Adobe program I wanted to run yesterday said my licensing had stopped working for no apparent reason.
So you hadn't upgraded anything or downloaded a patch or anything like that?
I could blame it on Apple because the only thing I upgraded was putting iTunes 9 on there.
Nice.
What a bitch.
I think the solution to that is you need to get a Mac.
No, because it's a very common problem and it happens across Macs as well, apparently. It's just shady, shady software.
Okay. God, you turned into a little school teacher when you started that. Is this the way the podcast is going to go? Are you going to be a bit ranty today?
Well, there's a chance, I would say.
Ah, bring it.
Okay, let's crack on then, shall we? So, first topic is WordPress hack outbreak. So, apparently WordPress has been getting hacked again.
Yes. Badly. So I think probably the end of last week this started to break. If you weren't on 2.8.4, you were at a risk of basically getting your site attacked. And unlike previous attacks, the actual hack was fairly clever and embedded itself into tables and all sorts. So even backups, you know, it wouldn't be just as easy to throw your backup back on.
Yeah.
It was just all over the place. And it's just, I don't know, there was a lot of feedback in the blogs about this.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people saying this shows you why you shouldn't be running WordPress, or this is another reason why WordPress isn't a good platform. I guess my take on it is it's dead easy now to keep your blog up to date.
Exactly.
It's one-click updates, isn't it?
It's one-click updates. I guess what I was most surprised at was I spotted a number of software developers saying they don't have time for this rubbish and they were a way to go to like a hosted option. But I mean, if I had one of their apps and I didn't keep it up to date and I put in a support call, I'm pretty sure they would say to me the first thing, update.
Yeah.
So
what version are you running?
Yeah. You know, and if you're not running the latest one, we'll update to the latest one and then tell me if it still fails.
Well, do you remember, was it a couple of weeks back I asked you a question because I noticed I got an email from my host saying
a
new user has been registered on your blog, and I thought, I didn't know that was possible, and I was trying to figure out what was going on. So basically somebody had registered on my blog as a subscriber. So when I went into my admin console, there they were just sitting there. They hadn't done anything. You know, I had a quick look through all my previous posts and looked at the comments to see if they'd added anything. Nothing. So I just deleted it. And at that point, I noticed there was a new update out. So I updated it. But you know, like you were saying, it's a one-click update. For me, whenever I try that, it doesn't work. What I have to do is deactivate all my plugins, update. Otherwise, I just get like an error message popping up.
But I mean, to be fair, they do recommend you deactivate your plugins anyway, because some plugins might break with the update.
Yeah.
So I mean, there are easier ways. You can go to WordPress.com, and you could get an account there for free. Mm. You know, so it is very easy to set up a free blog. But to me, as long as you keep up to date, and as long as you don't leave any directories open, you know, fully open for somebody to hack in, then you should be okay.
So is there like an easy way to keep up to date with the latest updates that they bring out? Because I only hear from, you know, like yourself or like just browsing another website and I hear
if you
that.
Go to, well, if you go to WordPress.org, and even if you just like subscribe to their blog, it'll keep you up to date.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I guess it relies on either, you know, using something like Google Reader and keeping up to date, or even
as soon as you log into the back end, you get a report if there is an update available. But obviously, that requires you to be on your blog.
And it depends.
Then again, blogs are supposed to be used, aren't they?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're all, I mean, I think the last couple of months for me, I've been a lot lighter on my blog. So, but I still log in and check often.
Okay, I guess this leads us on to the RSS cloud and push notification for blog updates. Is that the same, similar sort of thing?
Well, there was, I guess, on the back of this, so it was a lot of bad press for WordPress, and even people starting to say, is WordPress the Windows of blog tools? Because it was, it seems to be the one that gets hacked most often, or is most easily hacked.
I guess anything that becomes popular is at risk, isn't it, from
hackers? Yeah, and I think that's all it is. It's the biggest return for a hacker, you know, so you go after the big targets. Off the back of that, there was two plugins that they pushed out this week. One was RSS Cloud, which the idea of this is it's been enabled in all WordPress.com accounts, and you can also download a plugin for any WordPress self-hosted blogs.
Yep.
And it basically push notifies out to supporting RSS feeds, or RSS feed engines, that your blog's up to date or it's been updated. So there's a lot of, I guess there's a lot of focus in the last few months, I think, based on Twitter and Facebook, and also looking at Google. How quickly does material start to become searchable? Mm. How quickly can people go and find your content? And this should help to push out your updates quicker. Now, so if we've pushed out a new update to our website, any feed readers that support RSS Cloud will get told a lot quicker. So River 2 is now supporting it, but that's a brand new feed reader. So there's no surprise there. And it's the same with LazyFeed, I guess. The one's really Google Reader. You know, once that starts to pick up in these things,
yeah,
we should start to see a lot more real-time results hitting us.
Mm.
And then the second plugin that we actually bought the company was after the deadline. So this is a plugin I've actually added into our blog. It's actually a really clever spell, style and grammar checker. And it's actually got some pretty advanced features, and I've just ran it through some other old posts and looked at what it was picking up, and it is very clever. So that, again, it's on WordPress.com, and else you can download the plugin and for your own hosted blogs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, nice one. Just a little quick update on Dixon's PC World kind of group. They've decided to take action on the staff from posting comments on Facebook.
Well, it's a sort of wider story, really. That earlier in the week, basically, there's a face group set up for, it's unofficial, for staff members of DSG, which we all know as Dixon's and PC World and places like that.
Yep. Boo.
Now, so the staff happened to post in there, in these groups, that, you know, some disparaging things about some of their customers. You know, how stupid some of their customers are, and basically, you know. It's trash talking, basically. And so DSG, they were made aware of this, and now they're talking about taking action against staff members, because some staff obviously put their real names in there. So it's whether they're going to take action. But the wider issue is, you know, this company looking at their staff at all times, not just when they're at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this availability information, how it's used, and the big brother aspects of it. And quite frankly, anyone that goes and shops at PC World is a bit thick, because they're not buying their stuff online where they can get everything cheaper and better.
Exactly. But I suppose you could look at it another way. I mean, if it is like the company account that they're using, you know, like a DSG group Facebook account, then I suppose the staff should act a bit more professional, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously an unofficial group, but they did use DSG. Whether this would still be the same story if they'd, you know, called it the unofficial staff group or something.
I think it would. There's been quite a lot of cases in the past where bloggers who have been tried to be anonymous, but they've slagged off the company they've worked for, have been sacked. Now, whether you agree or disagree, this isn't the first time this has happened.
Mm.
It happens
down the pub every night, though, and you don't have people with microphones checking you out.
But it happens in the pub when you're talking to one or two people.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen as a Facebook group when you're looking at millions of people logging in.
Yeah, but would you
have
ever looked at that Facebook page?
Yeah, but did the press pick up on it?
Yeah, the press picked up on it.
So, and that's how the press is not going to pick up on an overheard conversation in a pub.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you see it from the point of view that, say, that was your company and you were in charge of it, and then your staff were making comments about your customers, then regardless of, you know, the fact that maybe it's not an official account, if your customers decided to act on it, you know, it's not good for the company, is it? So you need to probably do something about it. Slap a few wrists. Chop a couple of heads off. So anyway, yeah, I mean, that's...
Spot the toad.
More slagging the better from my point of view.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. I guess this is probably one of the bigger news this week. T-Mobile and Orange are to merge together. And I do believe that it will take about, was it 18 months or 12 months for them to actually merge together properly. So during that period...
That's right. I think they're starting in November and they reckon it's going to take about 18 months to complete.
Yeah. And they still haven't come up with like a name, have they? Like whether it's going to be...
Well, we don't know what it's going to mean. It could just be that they merge in the background and share their shop frontage. But there's definitely going to be, you know, they'll be sharing the networks and there'll be,
yeah,
I guess, shops disappearing and towers disappearing.
I mean, if they're going to be like shops disappearing because they're merging, then probably makes sense to have like one brand name, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what your opinion is. I think the Orange brand is a much better brand.
Well, just don't know.
I mean, I've been with both in the past, and I think I had more issue with Orange than I did T-Mobile. To be honest,
their adverts are great.
That's
important, isn't it?
Oh, that T-Mobile advert with that annoying guy singing really loud.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, exactly. Would you prefer that or the big orange glowing things?
I don't give a toss. Adverts are dead to me. The only thing is, it's just that are the consumers going to be affected? You know, is there less choice in the market? Because I guess that's between this O2 and Vodafone.
Mm. It's funny, and that was one of their big points. They even made that point publicly, that they felt there was too much competition in the market and they weren't getting enough returns.
But that means you're really talking about three big players now, aren't you?
Yeah. Mm. I guess a good thing might be for, say, an Orange customer who's getting bad reception in this area. So maybe they get better reception with T-Mobile, so when they merge together, that customer might then get better coverage. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. I mean, to me, this doesn't address anything like coverage at all. You know, it's just...
Oh, they'll be combining their networks, and their separate towers will be combined into one big network, I guess.
Yeah,
but they're still going to be, in all the major populaces, there'll be a network, but you know, it's not addressing issues like, you know, I'm out in the sticks and I don't get any network at all. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Part of me actually thinks this will get blocked.
Do you think?
Yeah.
That's nowhere near big enough. I mean, they're talking now about having a 37% share. O2 currently have about 27%, who were the previous leaders.
Mm.
And it's not near enough big enough.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just something about it that I think ultimately they might block it. I guess we'll find out in the long run.
We will indeed.
Okay, this is something I'm not familiar with. What's this? Lies, damn lies in Google.
Oh, it's just... I don't know why, but this week there's been a couple of different, I guess, people or blogs that I've read, and it's just been talking about stats. I do quite like stats. Google launched this service this week called Stat Center, and what's interesting is it's actually based under the UK domain, and it's actually got quite a lot of interesting statistics in there, and you can go and view it by media type or by age group, etc. And it just allows
Although
you...
men and women follow similar number of Twitter users, men have 15% more followers than women.
There you go. That's a great start. So the website is full of statistics, and it also tells you where the statistics has come from. And it can give you... So there's another one. 60% of UK consumers would view ads to receive free content. Fantastic. So it was just a nice way of actually bringing all these stats together. The sources are all listed underneath.
Okay.
And I like stats, so I just thought I would mention that. And
I'm clicking through these. I'm finding it quite addictive. 5% of all time spent on the internet is spent on Facebook.
There you go.
How much on porn? We could...
it hasn't come up.
It depends on the user. For you, I would say about, what, 80%? 85%?
I would probably say more in the 90s, but, you know. That's...
Oh, my God. I feel sorry for your wrists.
I've got Popeye arms. Anyway, moving on. on.
Well, just also on that, there's a podcast I've started listening to. I don't know how long it's been running for. I've only got to listen to it the last 2 weeks. It's another one from Radio 4. It's called More or Less Behind the Stats. It's a half-hour podcast, and they break down statistics, especially the more common ones. So I think it was not this week's, but last week's podcast, they looked at the statistic about, you know, everybody in the UK has been watched by a camera, you know, for every person, or every 14 people there's a camera, etc. And it actually quite interesting, they broke it down and found out it was all based on research done in 2002 based on two streets in London, and then since then everybody just extrapolated those results and applied it, so it's probably bollocks.
And we wonder how the Daily Mail comes up with their headlines.
Well, they're just Labour bashing scum.
So this will be something that would be useful for conspiracy theorists, I guess.
I just always like understanding exactly when somebody trots out something like that, where do they get it from?
Mm.
So that's just something I found quite interesting.
Fantastic. Now let's move on to our favourite subject.
Porn?
Second favourite subject, Apple.
Oh, Apple porn. You'd be...
Steve!
So... Oh dear. So anyway, Apple held their keynote this week. It's all based on the iPod.
Indeed.
And joy of joy, Steve was back.
Was
what a surprise.
I'm very happy to be here today with you all. And as some of you may know, about 5 months ago, I had a liver transplant. So I now.
So you launched into quite a godly bit now.
Yeah, the audience didn't know whether to laugh or cry, really, did they?
No.
Who died in a car crash and was generous enough to donate their organs. And I wouldn't be here without such generosity.
That's enough of that.
Heartwarming.
Well, in some ways, I think that was the biggest news out of that keynote.
I think so.
That's pretty much it. We could move on now.
No.
I mean, what did you think of his appearance? Do you think it was... He had to be there, or do you think it could have been anyone else presenting it? Ian?
Go on, Chris.
No, all I was saying, it could have been anyone, but it needed to be him, because otherwise there was nothing else to talk about, was there?
No, come on. That's just... Right. That, you're just baiting.
Troll, feed the troll, feed the troll. Go back under your bridge.
God, you are awake this week, aren't you?
Excite me.
No, I mean, I think it was good to see him, and I think he had to be there, just from a business perspective. You know, I think it was about time he made an official appearance. He looked really thin, didn't he? Which is kind of, you know, to be expected, but
he looked like he looks like bony thin. I mean, you can see the kind of bones just around his neck and stuff.
Yeah.
And he sounded really faint. Didn't sound a strong guy.
No,
but it actually seemed to get better as the keynote went on.
Yeah,
I don't know whether it was just like a confidence thing, or his nerves getting back up, or maybe he wanted to appear humble at the start. I don't know. I mean,
a few drugs at the interval.
Well, there's. I mean, if you look at the other keynotes, I mean, Motorola did a launch this week, and I can't remember if I threw it into the show notes or not. So it was their new Android phone. I don't think I did. And when you watch the video of that, it was terrible. and I mean, the product itself might be really good, but just from a half hour or hour long presentation, you just watched it and thought, oh my God, what is that? And there's something about, I don't know, there's just something about him to me that he can carry off
a keynote.
I think he's
just like kind of an inspirational speaker, I'd say. And I think he's got that confidence in him as well, so he can just, he knows exactly how to, you know, carry a presentation from start to finish.
I think if he hadn't done it, it would just opened up Apple for more questions. Mm. You know, is he really back? Is he well? And a lot of people assumed it's only going to be maybe a brand new product like the tablet that he would come back for, but I thought it was quite good.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were disappointed with it overall, but when you think of it logically, I think a lot of these rumours that came about weren't from Apple. So, you know, if somebody said, oh, I expect to see this, and it didn't make an appearance, then, you know, just because you wanted to see it doesn't mean it's going to be there. It's kind of... Anyway, so they started off with the iPhone 3.1 update.
Yep.
Which was available on the same night to download. What did you guys think of that? Did you all upgrade?
I upgraded straight away. Mm-hmm. And not a lot. My first couple of backups were really slow, yep. Which worried me. If I go back to when I first got the iPhone 3G, the backups were terrible. And as soon as I did the first one, it was like, you know, 40, 50 minutes. And I thought, oh my God, what's happening? Yep. And then the next one I did was also slow. And I must admit to being like, oh, they've stuffed it.
Yep.
But then since then, it's been actually really quick, the backups.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I know I tweeted on the evening. I mean, I've had even worse situation, but I updated to 3.1 and it failed. So I had to go
why
back.
Why did it fail?
It didn't even say. It just failed.
Eight.
Probably because of Adobe or something.
Were you using a Mac or a PC?
God.
It shouldn't matter. So it had to go and it had to do a full restore process.
Maybe it was a bit of goo.
Completely put everything back on it, and it had to then sync it. And then obviously the backup took forever. But yeah, since then, it's been backing up relatively quickly.
Okay. What do you think of the new features?
Have you noticed them?
Yeah.
The only one I noticed was the App Store changes.
Yeah, that's the App Genius.
Is there an app that I haven't even been in there yet?
They've applied Genius to the App Store. So you've got a third list.
That's not really for my benefit. That's for them selling more, isn't it, really?
Well, I think so. I was fairly unimpressed with the results that comes back. You know, because I've got, Remember the Milk, it's recommended another To-Do app. It's like, I've already got one.
If I've got a Twitter app, I don't need another Twitter app.
Yeah, and that's based on a Twitter app, it was recommending me BirdFeed. And I was like, but I'm not going to buy that as well.
It's probably more for games, I'd imagine. You know, if you play certain kind of games.
Yeah, I think there's certain genres it's going to work well on. Mm. And it's kind of entertainment-y things, you know, I think are going to be good. But and I think utilities, if you've got one that's working, you are kind of done.
Mm. I think the other new feature was it the ringtones? And
I don't know. I just
can't see myself buying any.
You can make your own ringtones.
Exactly.
Do it in GarageBand for free and throw them in. So why are you going to give them a quid or whatever for a ringtone? And if I've bought a bit of music already.
Which was a price break, apparently.
Yeah. And as soon as you started talking about it, the whole thing just looked dirty.
Mm. How much is a single on iTunes?
Is it anything from 59p to 99?
Yeah, I think the average
is 129. A single is cheaper by quite a margin than a ringtone, which is a grab of a single.
Mm.
Oh yeah, I mean it's dirty.
I mean, if you've got a Mac, you can get iToner and make your own ringtones using your music. So,
I guess the other thing that was interesting was that you can also view apps by revenue. So it's not just you go into your top 25 and you can see what's new or whatever. There's another one that says by revenue, and I think that's to try and get a bit more focus on things like TomTom and some of the higher priced apps, which just get lost in amongst 59p apps.
Okay. I suppose the other thing that came out that keynote was just a few stats, which I know you like, Ian.
Yes.
So like there've been about 50 million iPhone OS devices in existence.
Yeah, so 30 million iPhones and 20 million touches, which as a developer, if you think you're sitting there thinking, is there a market? Bloody hell, what a market.
Yep.
They said there was 1.8 billion App Store downloads.
Yeah.
I worked that out earlier, and so that's an average of 36 downloads per device. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Does it?
Yeah,
it seems quite high to me.
I think I've got more than that in my... on my phone.
Yeah, but this is for every single device out there. That's what I'm saying. It's 36 average for everyone.
Yeah, but you imagine...
But you're going to get some people that are downloading maybe only like 10 or 12 apps ever.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the others where I've got 10 screens worth of apps installed. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got loads installed, and I've already went through loads of other things and then deleted them.
Yep.
You know, I'm a bit of an addict.
Prolific.
And there are about, 75,000 apps available? To download, increasing all the time, I would say.
Yeah, it's quite a year and 3 months, four months?
It's quite an achievement. It's definitely quite an achievement. And it's,
I found the whole keynote speech was a little bit preachy like that, is that they were basically beating up their markets that they've created, which is, you know, it's a big deal. And they've done
Yeah, I mean, it's good for the shareholders, isn't it, to just give them a bit of confidence.
It did feel like a bit of a shareholder... massage.
But I think these ones have always been more than others. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, they're all their hardware is always incrementally changing. So there's nothing. There's never usually a big, massive, wow product.
We had to fill an hour somehow.
Indeed.
So after the iPhone 3.1 update, they moved on to the iTunes 9 update, which was also available to download.
Yes.
I don't know what you guys think, but I thought it was quite a nice little change. It looked, you know, more up to date, more fresher, and it just felt like there was more space available. It didn't look cramped like it used to. What do you think?
Yeah, I was a wee bit negative at the start, just because negative. It's another change. And the thing I don't like is it was a change away from their older version. I don't mind change, but the UI just isn't consistent across all the kind of different apps they've got now.
Okay.
You think when we first moved to Mac, the whole thing was about, you know, how great the UI was.
Yep.
And you're now looking at, you know, the Finder looking different to the iLife apps, looking different to iTunes. And even now when you look at Snow Leopard, you've got the kind of, you've got your dock and you right click and it sees dark menus.
Yeah.
Which you don't have anywhere else. It just feels all a bit bitty. Bitty.
Okay. What did you think, Chris?
I mean, it's a change from my point of view. It's a change from grey to white, and that's about it.
Didn't you think the layout was a little bit cleaner, easier to navigate?
Well, the problem I have is I never really go and buy music from their store, and it's the store, obviously, that's taken the biggest change.
Okay.
I did have a look at their new sort of podcast structures and stuff like that. If you laid out which, you know, other than the fact that it's got a white background, you said which one was the earlier version, which one is the one now, I probably wouldn't be able to tell you.
I think I could tell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the only reason I'm saying that, there's things that I could find more easily.
Yeah.
You know, so I could go into the store and even just browse between the different, you know, content types a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Once you worked out the drop downs is where all the categories are.
I mean, what I liked about it was, whereas before, if you clicked on an album, you went to a separate page. Now it will actually come up with like a pop up on the same page.
Yeah.
And you can preview
that. That is nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I do like that.
Yeah, and even, it saves that kind of annoying where you get lost in a system where, you know, you can't go back and forth.
And I think that's what's, I guess, thinking it through, you know, navigation-wise, you don't tend to move away as much as you used to. I guess what I wasn't sure about is how they've got their charts now, which seems to be these kind of horizontal scrolling lists, which just seems a bit odd.
Oh, yeah.
That's very backwards. I mean, that's you know, that's in web development terms, that's old news now.
Yeah.
And not used because it's not usable. It's annoying for the user rather than actually useful.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised at that, especially when you see them using like Coverflow so much elsewhere. And keeping like, here's a consistent, you know, you may be scrolling through the list, but that's all you can see. All of a sudden getting these, you know, horizontal scroll bars appearing. I was like, oh, that's a bit different.
Okay.
Go on. No.
No, I was going to say, did you guys like the sort of wide sort of layout? You know, you can hide the sidebar on the left.
So you can, yeah.
I haven't even tried that yet.
No, it's nice. Now, things like that, I think they are focusing more on making it easy to see what's there and what's new.
At the end of the day, it's a step upgrade, isn't it? And whether you like it or not, it's not revolutionary in anything, really. It's just... Yeah, although the app organisation, I thought, was probably its biggest feature that I noticed.
Well, I guess we can go through the features, because it wasn't just a UI change, was it? There was actually quite a lot of new features.
Bits and bobs going on, yeah.
And I've tried the app organisation. It actually works really well.
I think it works better than doing it manually on the iPhone.
Oh, a lot better. Well, for me, it works a lot better. I've got too many apps.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm the same as you. I've got about 10 pages now. So it's a bit difficult to move one app from page 1 to page 10. You know, you're like constantly scrolling. The only thing I found was when I used that app organization in iTunes, I deleted an app and I didn't actually delete it from the phone. I had to then delete it again manually. But maybe that was just a little hiccup.
Yeah, but that's the way it worked before as well. So obviously the old version didn't have the app organization, but see if you went into applications when you had your iPhone plugged in. Mm-hmm. If you deleted it on your, or certainly for me, when I deleted it in iTunes, it didn't delete from the iPhone.
Oh, I see.
But I think I had them on. I think I had the keep all apps synchronized option off. No, there's an option to say just always install everything.
Okay.
Because there were some apps I was like, I don't want these anymore.
Hmm.
So I thought that was nice, and I think it was something they should have done a long time ago. Because I think the actual UI of managing lots of apps in the iPhone is a bit broke.
Yeah.
It's just a bit awkward.
Obviously, they've also changed their music syncing page as well a little bit. There's a few more options in there now. I think one of the options is if you have any spare space left in your iPhone, it will automatically fill it up with some random music for you.
I was thinking about it the other day. I was about to click that, and I thought, well, and I don't know how whether this would block it or whether it does work like this, but if you filled up all your space with extra music, if you're out and about and you want to download an app, do you have to then delete some of that music to get the space, or does it realise that these are the ones you put on as an extra and I'll take up some of that room?
It's a good question, really. I'm not sure.
I would assume it would say there's no room.
Yeah, so that sounds like it might actually be more annoying than useful, unless you can specify that it still leaves X number of megabytes free.
I would assume it's just going to fill it up, and if you want room, it's just going to say, nope, I'm full.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to go and delete things every time you want to download. Yeah. So that sounds a bit frustrating to me, actually.
Yeah. I think the other options were, now you can sort of select an artist and it will automatically copy all the music.
Yeah, you can select an artist and you can select a genre as well.
Yeah. I don't know whether you guys would use this, and personally I've got my own playlist, and they're the only ones that will sync. So
exactly the same for me. I've got set up my playlist, so I just use that. But had I not done that, had I been coming to this fresh, then maybe these are better.
Exactly,
options.
Yeah.
I'm the same. I've got my playlists, but it's also the sync options have changed for photos as well. So you can say by album, faces, or events. Mm-hmm. I guess that's more a Mackie thing, but because you won't have faces and events on PC.
Yeah.
No.
And movies have got slightly better options now. You can say my latest three movies or TV shows can sync over.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that. Maybe it was there before, but I always found that if I have a lot of movies or TV shows, I was putting in the latest ones, whereas there'll be like old shows which I've never seen before. So now I've found the option that you can say three of the older shows, sync them instead.
Yeah.
So maybe that was there before.
I don't know if that's new or not, because I've not had TV shows.
Mm.
No, I don't.
So any new options you guys have spotted in the syncing?
I don't know if you've tried the Genius Mix.
Yeah, Genius Mix. I think it's okay.
You know? Yeah, I mean a couple of the mixes I've went through, I was a wee bit disappointed with the kind of choices within them, and then one of the electronic ones was actually superb.
Yeah.
I think that Genius Mix, it would be so much better if they would stream in some other tracks that you know, highlight to you when it's playing tracks you haven't got.
But I think
stream in some additions and then, you know, offer you the option to buy it, but they don't want to go down that route, do they?
No, I mean the Genius stuff before, if you have the kind of right toolbar or the right bar drop-down pane enabled, you do see other options to go and buy. And what used to annoy
you have to buy them to
yeah. But what annoyed me about the Genius stuff before was it wouldn't recommend the other stuff in your library. It was just like, here's other options you can go and buy. You know, it was very focused on here's what we've got in the shop.
Yeah, I think
it's gone the other way now, hasn't it? So Genius now is only playing stuff in your library. It's not.
No, I think that.
Well, it didn't play stuff in the shop, but it just recommended.
Yeah,
it
I think original Genius was just recommending you more music that you don't have, whereas this one is actually using your own library to create like a. I think it's supposed to be a never-ending list, isn't it? It just keeps going.
Another way of playing your music, basically.
Yeah.
That tries to group it into sections.
I think it'd be really good
together.
For like parties and barbecues. You know, you just leave it running in the
definitely.
Background. That's it.
And
does this replace the iTunes DJ that was?
No,
there?
It's still there.
Okay.
So you've still I've certainly. Yeah,
I thought
I've
that's
still
what the DJ was doing as well. That was.
Yeah, anything. I've still got the iTunes DJ.
Okay.
But it's another. I mean, I think they're now realizing that people are looking for. Ways of getting into their content, especially if you've got big, massive libraries.
Yeah,
you know, I'm probably really guilty of, you know, not making enough effort in some of my playlists and try to pull out some music that I've probably forgotten about.
That's probably. I mean, maybe that's it. My library's not big enough to actually think that I've ever found songs that I've lost. You know, and I guess if you have a huge library, this is quite a nice way of actually accessing them.
Yeah, I think I'm the same as you. And I've got like about a dozen playlists. And I don't think I really change them that much. So I'm always sort of listening to the same music, whereas I know I've got tons and tons of music sitting in my music library that I never listen to. And I think that Genius Mix is a good way of rediscovering some of your lost music, I would say.
And you can also sync them down to your iPhone as well.
What the Genius Mix is?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So with your iPhone plugged in...
Yep.
If you go into your playlists under iPhone, you can see your Genius Mixes and you can select one or any of them or all of them and sync them down.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, so it is a, I think they have thought that through quite well.
Okay. One thing that stood out for me, and I don't know how you guys feel, is the LPs.
Yeah, I'm kind of mixed on this, but go on, give us your views.
Well, I can see the point why they've done it. You know, like in the old days before CDs, you had when you bought an LP, you were like,
I can't remember.
Okay, you were buying like more than just the music, so you were getting on like, you know, some fancy artwork, some, I don't know, lyrics, some photographs of the band, and obviously when we moved to CDs, we sort of lost most of that. I know you can get special edition CDs where you do get extra artwork, but it was just, you know, that feeling of opening up a brand new LP and having all that extra in there was quite nice. So I think they're now trying to replicate this with iTunes LPs. So certain albums, I think the artists have a lot of freedom to, like, they can pick and choose what they want to add to it as well. So you could end up getting, like, maybe some music videos thrown in there, some lyrics, some documentaries. I think some of them will be probably a bit more expensive than like a standard album, but some of the ones I've seen, like Norah Jones one, I think is quite decently priced. It's about $7.99.
Well, I noticed the new Muse album's an LP.
Yeah.
And it's out this Monday, so I've pre-ordered it.
So have I.
And I mean, it was $7.99.
I don't think you get that much more with it though. I think you get that digital booklet and that's about it.
Yeah. But I think it's going to vary from artist to artist, yeah.
I'm certainly interested in that, so that's a biggie for me.
So it's obviously a system that they put in there to add value to trying to, well, persuade you to buy the whole album, because that's kind of disappearing. People are just picking and choosing their single that they like.
Yeah.
I'm a bit twisted. I mean, I think it's gimmicky, and who knows whether it's going to take off. I mean, I can see why people want to sell a whole album, because, you know, albums tell the whole story sometimes.
Yeah, I mean,
if
I remember
missing out tracks, then you're
I remember
missing
reading a few weeks back that they were saying that the album sale prices have been dropping, like you say, and they wanted to, like, encourage more album sales, and, you know, they're basically trying to figure out what would encourage people to buy more music. I don't know if this will work, but certainly for me, it will maybe encourage me to buy a few more albums.
Well, there's been lots of rumours that a few of the big music studios have been trying to band together and come up with a new format. So, and to me, it just sounds absolutely crazy. It just shows you the kind of old world thinking they've got. But so instead of MP3s, come up with a new format and wrap around it, hold a DRM, videos, photos, you know, you're buying this kind of album type thing.
Yeah.
And no doubt charge more for it as well. And I don't know if this is Apple saying, here's an alternative,
yeah,
and we've got it. And here's all the because they emphasised that during the keynote, there's going to be templates, and I'm sure there's templates and tools that they've got out to all the music studios to say, here's how to put one together.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've missed one thing that could have added a lot more value to it. They could have made it lossless for the same price. I think that would have been fantastic.
Yeah, and I think that's what, I mean, people are looking for something to differentiate, and that would be one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could go in and buy Radiohead albums right now for lossless,
yep,
and they had some extra content around, I would pay more.
You know what you were Quite saying just now, more. That they're sending out these tools to artists to add their own content.
Yeah.
One of the LPs available at the moment is by a chap called Tyrese Gibson.
And basically,
single with 79p, but you get like a comic book that he's been co-creating with another company, so you know, it's like little things like that. So it'd be interesting to see what different artists come up with.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a lot of press about this one because the people are putting two and two together again and saying, is this what a format on a tablet could be? Is this how Apple are going to get into ebooks and e-distribution? Imagine a comic on a tablet. You know, and that's the kind of thing that would certainly be a lot more interesting.
Yep. So,
one other thing also, just in the content, I mean, I know we're talking about, you know, maybe the Muse one doesn't have too much in it, but then if you look at something like, I mean, during the keynote, it was the Doors, and it was videos from they'd actually done exclusive videos that only were in this LP, And as the I don't know much about the Doors at all, but it was quite interesting that as the keyboard, I think it was the keyboard player, was talking away and he was giving a little story about why they were called the Doors. When he'd finished the video, the reaction of the audience was really good. Mm. You know, there's obviously people that could see they were getting that extra value out of that content. I think it's all
whether
about
that, whether they would have bought the album anyway, and this is just a nice thing. Yeah, but if you whether were, this is going to influence your actual purchasing decision, I don't know.
It would for
well,
me.
I guess the way you look at if I've got a choice of Amazon or Play or streaming it from Spotify for my $9.99 a month, or buying it on here with some extra content.
Well, doesn't that depend whether Amazon are selling it for like a fiver and
yeah, but
the extras then end up costing you $9.99?
Yeah, but it's up to you to make that decision. If you're a fan and you can see the value of the extra content.
Yeah. I mean, like you say, if that was like, because I'm a Radiohead fan as well and a Muse fan, if I could get like a special edition album with a lot of extras, and even if it did cost a fiver more than Play.com, I would probably buy it from iTunes. Then that's just me.
Yeah.
I'm a tart. Okay. Moving on. They've added some DVD extras as well to some of the movies.
Yeah, I think this is just much the same as if you're used to DVD extras, then this is what they've added.
Yeah. Have you ever bought any movies or rented any movies from iTunes?
I did right at the start when it first came out.
What, buy or rent?
Rent.
Okay.
And I got a movie and it worked and it was fine.
Okay.
You know,
story over here.
Yeah, I mean it was like that. No great big drama. I mean, I still think their times are a bit tight. I think you only had 24 or 48 hours to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if you maybe had a bit more time against it. You know, if you could rent it and say you've got a week out, you know, to actually watch it. But no, it was. And even with these, I guess it's. Again, it's just trying to compete with DVDs and giving you something extra. And I know in the past, I mean, a lot of the guys I work with just don't see the point of DVD extras.
Yeah.
And some DVDs I found a waste of time, but they see the movies I really like.
Yeah.
I've delved into them and I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, because I think I'm going a bit mad here. I'm sure that a while back when I looked at the movies that were available to buy and download, you had HD movies. And now I've been looking at the new iTunes store and I can't find any HD movies in there.
Right.
So
I'm sure HD movies were there.
Well, I'm sure they were as well, but and unless I'm looking in the wrong place, I just can't find any. And under the TV program section, there's a HD TV option, which is just for like TV shows. But if you go into films, I can't see any HD option.
I'm just going there just now, so I'm going to film.
Maybe it's the new user-friendly experience that is the iTunes 9.
Oh, have you been sucking lemons again? Because you sound really bitter.
Just big companies, computer companies, they're all evil.
Yeah, I am.
Like if I click on Iron Man, for example.
Well, that's what I've done. That's where I am as well.
Yeah, and there's, I can't see anything. I can't see an HD option in there.
Perhaps if anyone is using iTunes and can find it, they can write to us and let us know.
So basically, these are some of the new options in iTunes, and so you've got better syncing options with your iPhones and iPod Touches as well.
Yeah.
We've covered ringtones, and I believe there are about 30,000 of them.
Yeah.
So another new option in iTunes itself is home sharing, which allows you to copy your purchased media to up to 5 authorized computers in the same household.
Yeah, which I think's about time.
Yeah.
Have you tried it yet? I've not tried it.
I've enabled it, and what I found about quite funny was, you know, like iTunes has that, what's it called? Is it a streaming option or sharing options?
Yeah.
So for me, I thought I can't see myself using it because I like to keep my music on an external hard drive because it's like nice and big. So I don't really want to copy over to a laptop, you know, and just use up unnecessary disk space.
Mm.
But I can see, you know, like maybe in other situations, some people might find that really useful. I think it's good to have.
I just wondered again, is this the step to moving towards tablets? But then again, I think everything I watched the keynote and I was trying to, does this mean tablet? Does that mean the tablet's coming? So definitely
it's quite easy to set up, so no, it's not.
I've heard mixed reports about what it actually is, as far as you obviously have to, I mean, from one source saying it was basically having one iTunes account which you can then use on multiple computers, so you have to type in your actual iTunes details and then you can access your account through another computer effectively because it downloads or copies across. Another one saying actually, well, it kind of is like that, but you can actually then, so you can authorize a computer, download all the stuff, then sort of effectively deauthorize yourself, and that content is still all available.
No, you can't, because...
Okay, so...
I had a look at that. Basically, what you can do is you can only deauthorize a computer once you've used up your 5 computer slots. So the deauthorize option is there.
On the second opportunity, if this was someone else's iTunes account, so that someone else was using that computer in general, if you log in and authorize that computer to look at your content, does that then come into that other user's account, or is it completely
separate?
Oh,
so you mean if you then deauthorize your friend's computer and then use that slot?
Do they still get to see your content that they dragged across?
Surely not, because that means like I could just buy it.
You're stripping out.
And everybody would, you know, so we could have a little consortium where, you know, I buy one album, you buy the next album, and we just share it out. It can't be that.
That's
the report I heard, so we need to look into that maybe.
Because, I mean, if I look at my iTunes, I can see in the top right corner, it's logged in as my account. Now, I'm wondering, like, say, Chris, you came over, and I copied some of your music over, and then logged back in as my account, would I be able to play that music, or will it check to see the account?
I guess that's the query, isn't it, at this stage?
Yeah, I don't know. I have my doubts about that.
Yeah. Well, I do as well, but I've certainly read a report that said that was possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's something we can maybe try, do some testing. I guess there was some other stuff they've added in roundabout, and it was. I guess I was feeling disappointed with this, but there was a lot of talk beforehand about social networking being quite prominent, and also Blu-ray. So for the second year in a row, people predicted Blu-ray, and for the second year in a row, there was hee-haw, which I think just sums up a lot of the Apple rumor sites.
Yeah, I think it was the same with the social networking. I mean, we covered a little bit last week, didn't we? And
Can I just confirm that the social networking integration that we were all supposed to be bigged up about was effectively posting links to Twitter of music you can buy on iTunes?
Yep. And it's not even, you can't even do it from your own content. You can only do it from the store.
Yeah.
So you can basically send out an advert for Apple.
Yeah. So basically, it's nothing to do with what the rumors were saying before the keynote. It's just, you know, it's like something completely different. And
someone heard a half truth somewhere and extrapolated far beyond where they needed to.
I mean, unless they're still working on their own social networking app, I don't know. But certainly, I think from what I saw, I thought, okay, I'm not going to use this. I tried it out just to see what it's like, but it's rubbish. I can't see myself using it. One interesting thing, though, is this wish list option.
Yeah.
Which could prove to be quite a temptation for me, I think. I can see myself adding everything to it.
Well, at the same time as adding a wish list, which sounds like they've added a new feature, they've also taken away your shopping cart. So everything when you click to buy, it's bought.
Yeah.
Whereas previously you would add to your shopping cart and then go to
the
shopping
cart.
No matter
what the price.
And, so one click, buy.
Ouch.
So
don't buy that. Don't buy that £5,000 iPhone app. That came.
and
it
really,
be worth
what
putting a £5,000 iPhone app in the store just to see whether you can catch drunk people out.
Well, that happened before. I can't remember. It was either £5,000 or £2,000.
Yeah,
and people bought it because they thought it was something more, and it was like, well, get a grip.
I don't know whether they got a refund or not.
No, there's no refund.
Pond.
So in some ways it was like, yeah, wish list is nice, and I don't even know, like, if I add stuff to my wish list, can I send that out to you? Can you see my wish list and buy stuff for me?
Okay.
That'd be quite useful, because obviously they've you've got this gift option, haven't you, so you can gift an item to somebody else. So if somebody sends you their wish list and there's a birthday coming up, hint, Ian.
So I'm just I'm at my wish list which is empty. So let me go and add something.
Okay.
Well, you guys carry on talking while I faff around.
Okay. Well, the next thing I think Ian will be absolutely delighted with, but I might make Chris a bit angry. the Palm Prix has been kicked out again.
Get out! Yep.
Get out!
Out you get. Yep, absolutely.
Oh, I think that was the least surprising thing of the show.
Yeah.
Every new release is going to break that again, and they're just going to release a new patch, I imagine, just to get it back in again.
Well, I'm just wondering whether like Palm have like a few options that they can use, and eventually will they then run out, and there'll be like no way for them to get in.
I
hope so.
It's gonna, well, I reckon there's always going to be a way of, you know, pretending to be an iPhone, and the only way Apple are going to be able to stop that. It's probably by making it more complicated for genuine owners of Apple stuff. So it's not in their best interest to then get into a war like that.
Yeah. Okay. And this other thing.
Just let them sink.
Sorry?
Just let them sink. No. Just let it go.
Get out.
Easy. Get out. See, if you want to sink, buy a bloody iPod or iPhone.
Yeah.
Invest in the monopoly.
I don't know if you guys have seen this next option.
Fanboy.
Have you heard of the media organization? That they've added in. I've used it, and it does sort of reorganize all your. It doesn't reorganize; it just sort of restructures the folder.
It just makes a bit more sense out of it. So previously, you used to go to music, and then within iTunes, you would have. It was just all over the place, you know. But now, I mean, I've sorted mine as well. So now you've got like audiobooks sorted from podcasts and voice memos and TV shows and movies, and it's all just a bit more structure.
Yeah. One feature of it, which I don't know whether I will use it or not, but I think it could be useful for other people. They've added a folder in there called Automatically Add to iTunes.
Yep.
And basically, if you drop any music into that folder, it automatically gets added to your music library in iTunes.
Yeah.
Which could be quite useful for, like, you know, people who maybe have their own music and they're just going to want to rip it and dump it in one folder.
Yep. I think that was the one thing for me when I moved over to iTunes was the fact that it wanted to structure my music. And at first it was a big thing for me. It was like, no, I've got all my neatly organized folders. I don't want you messing around with names. And all my names made sense. And then I was just like, sod it. Just let it do its stuff. You know, and since then it's worked. But the only thing I've really wanted is just, it would be great if it just watched a folder and added the content automatically instead of me having to add it manually all the time.
I think hasn't it done that for a while though?
No,
I'm sure I can get it to monitor a music folder and then just adds that to the list.
I don't think so.
Must be imagining it.
So all I've done is I've created a symbolic link to this and thrown that in my sidebar. So if I've got new music, just throw it in there and it gets added, which is all good.
It's all good. Now. So that was the iTunes, and then they moved on to the iPod Touches.
God, we're making a meal out of this, aren't we? We've been prattling on for ages. Right.
Sorry, guys.
Hardware.
So anyway, the iPod Touches, I think there was a bit of disappointment around that because people were, again, expecting to see a camera in there. No camera. Oh, no. The only good thing is they've reduced the prices.
Yeah. So the prices I thought were pretty good. I mean, 32 gig for £229 sounds nice. Yeah.
And they said it's like 50% faster, but we're not quite sure what that means at the
moment. Well, yeah, I've done a little bit of digging. The 8 gigabyte one, which is £149, is the same speed as you know, before the keynote.
When you say speed, do you mean like the same CPU in it, or
it's what? So whatever CPU and chipset was in it is still the same.
Right.
The 32 and the 64 gig have got the same speed and chipset as the 3GS.
Okay.
So I guess what's in my head then is you've got the original 3G iPhone, and then you've got the 8 gig iPod Touch being slightly faster, and then you've got the 3GS and the 32 and 64 gig touches being the same speed.
That's good. Okay.
And I guess what's interesting, just by saying no camera, people have actually bust open the new Touch, and seemingly there is space for it. And if you look at the mouldings, there was space for it. And there was lots of rumours about that they had technical difficulties with the camera, and that's why it's not included.
Yeah.
You know what I felt? I felt that the whole keynote speech felt like it was missing something, and I think they were expecting to announce this and they weren't able to.
James, I wonder
it's
if
all it, speculation.
I wonder if it was the Beatles. I really do.
Well, I don't know.
Too coincidental. 999 to wait to do the keynote for that day and not have that.
Yeah,
just seemed silly.
Well, I remember reading an article a few days ago, and it was like somebody had interviewed Steve Jobs, and they asked him about the lack of the camera and the touch. And again, I don't know. I'll try to find a link to this again, and maybe we'll add it to the show notes. But from what I remember, he basically said that they basically survey the market, and if they try to evaluate like how people use the iPod Touch, and he said that customers are using it as a games machine more than anything.
Yeah.
So what they wanted to do was reduce the price, you know, rather than adding more features, because they thought that people already love it. They're not asking for any more features. So what can we do to make it a better player and a games machine? And that was to reduce the price.
Yeah.
So they then decided not to add the camera, and they just, you know, reduce the price even more and make it even more appealing.
Yeah, but the price, the 199 price is on the slowest one. You know, the 8 gigabyte one. Yeah,
they made a meal of even saying that the 199 was this key price point that they wanted to aim at, and then they put their, you know, their weakest model, slowest model, pretty much like the old model.
Yeah. Well, it's the old model. Point.
I think it is the old one.
I think it is just the old 8 gig.
So they've just dropped it by £50.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, I still think, you know, if they 32 and 64 had the camera.
Yeah.
But then maybe I don't know, because they're arguing that, well, I don't. I still think, seems like 3-6 months time. I think they'll bring out ones with cameras.
Yeah,
we'll see it come. I'm sure we will.
No, I don't think it'll be a year away.
No.
Okay. So other than the touch, they also reduced the prices of the shuffle as well. They've introduced new colours.
Yeah.
So the shuffle, the 2 gig one is £45, and the 4 gig one is £59, which is like, why would you then buy the 2 gig one at all? I mean, it's 14 quid difference.
I know.
So, and then the classic iPod, the 160 gig. What was it before? It was 120 gig, wasn't it?
120.
And now they've increased that to 160 gig. Is the price still the same?
Yeah.
£189. Yeah,
everything's the same. It's just slightly more storage. It's a goner. That it's just a relic that's going to disappear pretty
soon. It's a goner.
It's interesting that, you know, some people are obviously still buying it and asking for more space, and you wonder who those people are.
I don't know who's got 160 gigabyte. Well, I guess if they're watching movies and films, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, well, mine's is up at just under 100 gig now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of music. It's a lot of girls allowed.
There's nothing wrong with that, especially when you've got high dev video girls allowed.
Yeah, especially the ginger one. But
as long as you mute it.
Hold on a minute. You like the ginger one?
I don't like her. I just think she looks a bit dirty.
So you're telling me if all five of them were standing in front of you, you go for gins? The pause says
if
all.
If I could pick from all of them, then not necessarily, but I'm just saying, whereas before I thought she was the right minger, now I just think she's kind of dirty. So, yeah, I went. She'd get it.
She rebranded herself.
She'd get it. moving on to the iPod Nano. The 8 gig one is 115 quid and the 16 gig one is 135. But the interesting thing is that they have added a camera to this and a mic and a speaker as well.
Yep.
But the camera, Ian, it's only video only. No stills.
Yes, Shaquille. So I thought it was a bit odd at first, but they are saying that to make it a still camera, it would have been too thick for the Nano, which...
To make it a still camera would be too thick?
Yeah, they said
it's not the same camera, though.
No, well, the camera similarly is different.
The CMOS sensor, whatever they call it. I think they said it was thicker.
So the camera that's
sounds
inside...
Sounds like excuses to me.
The camera that's inside the Nano is different to the cameras that are inside the 3GS.
Right. Is it the same megapixels? Is it different for video cameras?
It's 640 by 480.
Right.
So it's not just one more thing.
Yeah.
They've devalued their one more thing. This was just the biggest... disappointment ever.
But the thing noticed watching the keynote was that usually he would do a little pause waiting for an applause, and it's like, oh crap, there's none. Oh crap, there's none again. And it was just right at the end, he really did a pause, and I think it was then the Apple employee started clapping. It's like, yeah. Come on, it's Steve.
I find it a bit odd, because normally, you know, when they do something like this, there's a reason behind it, and the reason that it would make it too thick is just not good enough. It's like, can you justify the fact that people only want to take videos in with an iPod Nano and they don't want to take stills?
I'd be fairly hacked. I mean, it's like, you know, if I think back to when we had the camera and you couldn't take video, you know, in the 3G, it was, you found it quite limiting. But if they'd put the 3GS out and said, well, here's one that does video but no stills, you'd be like, sod off. So I still think as a package, I think the Nano is actually a really, really nice player. You know, 16 gig.
It looks great.
16 gig, 135 quid, really good screen. The actual video effects that we're playing on it looked really good. It's got an FM tuner. Why now? You know, it's like, after all these years, they've thrown in an FM tuner. But the FM tuners...
are all good things, aren't they? I mean, that's a good addition. That's nice.
Yeah, but why now? That should have been a good addition 4 years ago.
Yeah. Because they were scrambling because they didn't have anything else to announce.
Well, I don't know. And, but the only thing about the FM tuner is...
Let's shove a tuner in it. Let's shove it. Oh, a pedometer. Yeah, let's do that.
Is that to tell you when a pedo is nearby?
Only in Wales.
What have you got against the Welsh?
It's not Welsh bashing.
So,
imagine a paediatrician carrying a pedometer. What would they do?
In Wales.
Gosh. So I think that was pretty much the presentation, wasn't it?
So just
we've actually taken longer than the presentation.
I think we have. We've taken an hour and a half to discuss an hour long presentation. We should be proud of our effort. So, Chris, what did you think overall?
Overall, I couldn't believe that I'd even bothered to keep up with the tweets. It was just Apple massaging themselves and really announcing very, very little. There was a few bits and bobs, but nothing that most people wouldn't release as a 0.1 update on anything.
God, I wish I'd said a one word answer. Shaquille, one word answer. What did you think? That's one.
Yep, there you go. That's my answer.
And I'm much to say, I thought a bit kind of like, ugh. But I just wanted to, and I will put the link in the show notes, I'm not going to do it all out, but Don McAllister, who does Screencast Online, did a blog post, and it was just around about how he thought it was truly awesome. And
well, the way I saw it was, if you compare it to the rumours that were spreading about before, yes, missed a lot of things that we discussed. But then if you just forget about the rumours and you just see it as the keynote itself, again... it still wasn't that special, you know.
So are we able to not report on Apple rumours anymore then?
No, of course not. But just going back to this post, and it's just how he breaks it down. So it just lists all the stuff that's changed. So we'll redesign and re-architect the iTunes Music Store, which is the most successful music store in the world. We'll add in DVD extras. We'll add in LPs. We'll add in extras for movies. So he's going through all those things. Okay, it's a high-profile service. Make sure you can flip a switch. You know, so there was literally was download it, and you've got this brand new store. Let's go a new desktop client. Radical change to look and feel. It's going through all that kind of stuff. No, not a central library. Let's make it bi-directional so you can flip the files, movies and TV shows as well. Negotiations with record companies, Genius playlists, improve on that. iPhone apps, so the remote had to get updated as well. Let's get the new 3.1 release out, supporting the Genius stuff. And he's just going through all the things that had to change.
Ugh.
Honestly, see when you read through it and you listen, and I guess it's just a different take on it.
Yeah.
It was a big change. I still think it was fairly, you know, it was like a 20-minute, you know, keynote, and you could have rattled through these things.
I agree that they've created this big behemoth that so whenever they change one little thing, they actually have, there's so many things that hang off it that they do, you know, that's probably why it feels like a bigger change to them than it does to us.
Yeah.
Because they realize how much work goes into just adding
and it's probably a video massive. Camera to a It's probably iPod. Massive.
I think the other thing is they're probably just a victim of their own success. People just expect them to come out with something exciting and brand new every time they do a keynote. And, you know, maybe that's not what the keynotes are always about.
Yeah. So
do chitty bo. So that wraps up the Apple keynote. But sticking with Apple, Spotify has been released. Was it last week or the week before?
It was Monday.
I believe you've been trying it out, Ian.
I have tried it out, downloaded it. and realised you had to be a premium member, so signed up for a month, and it's been working superb. So the playlist synced really quickly, which they should do, because it's just basically text just saying, here's your playlist. The actual streaming worked really quickly. So over 3G, you know, within 3-4 seconds, the track started. And the audio quality was superb. I mean, for me, it was better than Last FM's quality. And it was on a par with listening to music stored on the iPhone as well. And I think the really smart thing was, it was just the fact that you've got access to these playlists. And Spotify and playlists are far more important, and they're far more social.
Yeah.
You know, so it's... I'm shocked by how much I've used it this week. Okay. Even just the fact that I can hit search, and I've got 4 million tracks to choose from.
So, say you really enjoyed using this, would you give up buying music, or downloading music, should I say?
Yeah.
Would you? No,
well, I don't say it. I think it'll be a combination, and that's what I'm weighing up. So over the next month, I'm going to look at my usage and how much am I using it, and am I getting £10 a month out of it? And if I am, I'll keep paying it. And one thing I could see me doing is, see if I think I'm travelling away quite a bit. Yeah. I might pay for that month. See if I think I'm mostly based at home. Probably won't. Just depending on what I think, you know, users will get out of it. And it'll be interesting if there's rumours of them starting to add more ways of purchasing. So rather than either a month or a year, there's been talk of maybe doing like a week pass or a 2 week pass and using PayPal as well.
There was a couple of questions I have. I heard that you can store locally songs. Is that right?
Oh yeah, I meant to mention that as well. So you can select a playlist, and you can hit local, and all the playlists, a little checkbox appears against each of the playlists. You select the one to download, or you can select all of them, and it just starts downloading them onto your iPod.
And you can do that over 3G?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter about the 10 meg limit?
Doesn't seem to be. Well, I guess most of the tracks are probably going to be under 10 meg, but aren't they?
Yeah.
Because it's doing it in a per track. So that seemed to work, but slow.
And then the other question I had was just, how does it cope with the battery life? I mean,
oh, it sucks the battery life. It absolutely sucks it, because you're constantly streaming.
So you've got to be pretty conscious of being close to a power outlet, just that if you do need to use your phone for...
And that is one of the... I mean, it's the same when you're using the iPhone, you know, for sat-nav, or if I use it when I'm out hill walking and it's constantly hitting the GPS, you know, it does hurt the battery.
Yeah, when I'm using GPS, it's always plugged in, but I guess hill walking is a different thing, isn't it? So again, it's going to sucking it dry.
The biggest thing for me is you can't run it in the background. So the iPod I can launch, I can check tweets, go on Facebook, hit the web, I'm still listening to music.
And that's quite a big thing, because obviously when you're out and about, you know, you do want to check your Twitter. So
exactly.
So you're trying to find that gap to listen to music and then stop.
Yeah.
You know,
and the only thing is the resume one, it's really nice. So if you do come out of the app and you go back in, if you were playing music, it will resume. So again, if you're listening to your Girls Aloud and then you're wanting to do a demo later on launch, it will just...
Not a note will be missed or repeated. That's, I mean, they've definitely got it sorted, haven't they, as far as they
could.
The
app itself was working really well. A couple of little bugs, it crashed a couple of times, and also the volume when you launch it always seems to be high, and as soon as you touch the volume, it then drops down again. So there's just a little kind of bug edge around these things. But it just having the freedom to have all those tracks on it is amazing.
Just that this sounds exciting. It's definitely more future looking.
Out of all the kind of, you know, paid for media options, I think this is the one that's closest for me to actually, you know.
This is the one Apple different. Should have been shouting about, but the fact is they couldn't, because it's in direct competition with what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, sounds good. I mean, the only issue I would have with that is I think it's a fantastic app as well. Something about the monthly fee that sort of puts me off a little bit, because I can go through phases where maybe I won't listen to anything for a few months, and then I will listen to music. And then I think, what if there's a time in the future when, say, I'm saving up for something, and I try to think of ways where I can cut out money. As soon as I stop paying for that, don't have access to any music at all.
No,
which
but
is
do.
Why I think you what?
But you do.
How?
Because the free accounts doesn't limit, you know, it's not like I'm paying for, on the iPhone I won't have access to it.
Yeah, that's what I mean, just purely from the iPhone point of view.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where I'm mostly listening to my music anyway, from my iPhone. I don't really use my computers for it.
Ah, okay. Well, that is an issue then.
Yeah.
That is an issue.
So I think that's where, I mean, I could see myself using it, but I would still keep my local music to hand as well.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's, there's a mindset to get around, and there's no getting away from that.
Okay. So an iPhone app that I've been trying out recently is a C64 emulator. Can't remember how much. I think it was about $2.99.
Yeah.
It's actually, I think it's a good idea, and I can see it growing in the future, but as it is, when you download it, you get about 4 or 5 cack games with it. You know, that's just like rubbish.
They're all cack.
But the emulator is pretty good. I mean, it's pixel per pixel, like a C64 graphics. The only issue I have with it is the iPhone screen isn't the biggest screen in the world. And the way they present it to you is, it's almost like you get a joystick and a fire button in the bottom half of the screen. And then the top half of the screen is, they made it look like a TV screen or a monitor. So you actually have like a small window for graphics, which is fine for the cat games that they supplied with it, because you don't really need that much screen space. But as they add more games to it in the future, I think you'd struggle to see in a, you know, like a small square window at the top half of the screen. Now, if they add an option maybe to go full screen, so
I thought I'd seen pictures of that.
There is. Yeah, I went through all the options myself, and I couldn't see anything.
I'm sure if you look on the, even if you look in the store, you can see that there's full screen options in there.
I've definitely seen that going on.
Any of you downloaded it yet?
No,
because it's I mean, really, I just don't see the point. As far as you know. You can get some pretty good arcade games for free or even 99p in the App Store. Why would you want to buy a $2.99 app just to have to pay more money for, I don't know, 99p for even more cack?
There you go.
No, go on, that's it.
I was just going to say, did you ever try rotating it?
No.
Full screen if you rotate. Google is your friend.
It's not hidden like the three shake thing that the other app had.
Mm.
I know. But no, I don't know why people get so excited. I mean,
oh yeah.
I tell you why people get excited, because I want a bloody SNES emulator.
I can see that more because there's the whole some thing, IP there that is actually a bit more advanced and interesting.
Yeah, but the whole thing, the reason why I'm getting excited about this is that previously they said no emulators. You know, so it was an App Store policy, no emulators. Now they've put this one on and you're thinking, right, emulators are go. And I just hope one day we get a SNES one coming out, because it would be superb.
I mean, I can see myself like using this like Ian uses Monkey Island. You know, I'll use it for a couple of weeks and then that's it.
Or a couple of minutes.
But I still, emulators just, you know, kind of excite me a little bit. And like Ian said, now that one of them is out, you don't know, SNES could be next.
Right.
Another cool iPhone app, which is a long time coming, is the Flickr app.
Yes.
Now this is the official Flickr app.
I don't know if you tried. I downloaded it. Really nice interface. You can upload photos and video, and I can easily see friends' content.
That sums it up, and that's exactly how easy it is to use as well.
Yeah, and you know, there's no need to go and buy another app. So if you're a new iPhone user,
have you removed DarkSlide now from your?
I've not removed it because DarkSlide's got some locational type stuff that you don't get with the Flickr one, but. Right. If the Flickr one had been there from day one, I wouldn't have paid any money for anything else.
Mm.
It does everything.
It presents your friend's photos quite nice at the start, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah, it's got that nice kind of
dim fade. I don't know what it's called.
Zooming in and out. If
got a name, David something.
Is it Ken Burns effect?
Oh, is it Ken Burns?
That's the one.
David.
That's you thinking Welsh again.
It must be.
Maybe just thinking of David from Big Brother.
You didn't say that.
Who said that? Was that one of your sound effects?
No. But it should be.
The last Apple item we have is a 10.6.1 update, which came out a few days ago.
Yeah, so just in case Chris has fallen asleep, flash, security, minor bugs, sorted.
And there's a new Get a Mac ad, which Chris needs to see.
I've seen it.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Hello, I'm a Mac, and I'm a PC.
They were touting their
PC Innovations Lab. Wait, PC Innovations Lab. Well, you know how you have your patented MagSafe
cord? That winds you up, doesn't it?
Someone trips over it? Sure. Well, we're protecting PCs with this new air-cushioned enclosure.
with bubble wrap. And you know
how you have your revolutionary battery with bubble wrap that lasts almost an entire workday? Mm. Well, almost an entire workday. Extremely long
cord. PC, shouldn't innovations make people's lives easier?
Well, that's exactly why we've developed these. Cheers to innovation.
It's like an abseil rope that almost reaches the floor, a battery that almost works a working day.
I don't know why you take it so personally for, though.
Well, I'm sure there's PCs out there. They've got longer battery life than an Apple, so...
Anyway.
Whatever.
Anyway, let's move on to gadgets and games. Google have launched Monopoly City Streets. Ian, do you want to take us through that, please?
Yeah.
For me, it was just fail until today. I tried the last couple of days and couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they underestimated just how popular it would be. I finally got in today and found out everything's bought. So I won't be back.
Now, they had some massive issues. This is Google Maps in collaboration with Hasbro, who obviously do Monopoly. And you can go and buy any street in the world and build property on it and play a game, basically.
So who do you play against then? Everybody in the
world? Everybody, yeah. Yep. Yeah, so you play against anyone.
So can I buy any street, absolutely any street in the world?
As long as it hasn't been bought, you can just buy it from the bank. And then if it has been bought, you can put an offer in against whoever's bought it.
Okay.
Give them an offer. So I've actually been persevering with it. I've got a couple, bought some roads and stuff to see what it's going. But it has been very frustrating because they've totally got the load issues wrong.
Oh, definitely.
They are going to reset midweek this week, so it's fair for everyone now that the load issues have been sorted.
Ah, interesting.
So you can get in and buy whatever you want.
Yeah, because what was it like? Because I tried to buy my street and it let me. But it only let me buy a little corner bit of it. So I refreshed, and it's let me buy a little corner bit, and somebody else has bought all the rest. And it's like, but surely one street's one street.
Hmm.
So I don't quite know what that was about. And then
basically, it's however the Google have stored the street. So if it thinks it's Google. Two particular cars, the Google. there are some issues. You can't even buy some streets because then they don't show up in the searches and stuff.
Yeah.
I think if you go back now, and when it resets, if you want to join in, I think it is fair now for everyone.
And I think it ends in January. So I think it's like a 4 or 5 month game.
Yeah. And that they've said that's their plans at the moment. They're going to see how popular it is and if they want to continue.
And it looks massively popular because there's an awful lot of Glasgow already bought up.
I've bought up in Portsmouth and... nearly all of Portsmouth's gone.
That's all the paedophiles buying Portsmouth.
Oh, okay, then let's move on. We're approaching 2 hours here, so let's stop.
No way, are we?
No way, we're at hour 16.
Sorry,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's all right then. But anyway, next agenda is Pam Pixie.
Yeah, so smaller screen, tiny keys, no Wi-Fi, and that's about it.
Yeah, I read from somewhere earlier and I agreed with them, which is this is meant for sort of a younger generation than would necessarily buy the Palm Pre. But taking away Wi-Fi is, surely the Wi-Fi is one of the most essential parts of it.
I would have thought so.
So it seems really bizarre decision. Sure, cut down the actual hardware and speed and maybe memory or whatever, but to chop out Wi-Fi seems silly. Chopping off your leg.
Mm.
That is silly as well.
Get out.
Dreamcast, Mr. Dick.
Oh, I had to add this in. 10 years old this week. And
did you actually have one?
Me?
Mm.
Yeah.
It's funny, I don't remember that.
Did you have one?
Yeah.
Chris, did you have one?
No, I didn't have one.
Oh. I think the Dreamcast was just ahead of its time.
It was definitely ahead.
You know, I remember when it came out and there was all that water cooling within it and people were like, water cooling? And it's just a cut down PC and what's all this about? And in some ways, I think, a lot of the team did move on to the Xbox team.
Yeah.
And I think it was a kind of precursor of the Xbox.
I think one of the biggest issues was it was net enabled, but the internet around that time. Sorry?
No, it was. I remember I played an NFL game on it.
Yeah.
It was absolutely superb.
It's just the internet at that time wasn't really that widespread as it is now in the UK, certainly. Yeah. And it just never really took off. And I think the joypads weren't that great. And the idea of that you had to, remember those little almost like Tamagotchi type things that you could insert into your gamepads?
Yep. It was definitely a great bit of hardware that never really got the pickup, didn't it?
No. And I think it was a shame because it was falling on from the Saturn, which was which was kind of good hardware but hard to program against. Mm. And then I think with the Dreamcast, it was fantastic. I mean, so many games. Soul Calibur on it was superb.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so many.
A good version of Virtua Tennis as well.
Yeah. I mean, Virtua Tennis, a whole lot of games that were just at the time, when you compared it to, I guess it was PS1.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, PS2. I mean, it was smacking everything on PS2. Yeah. But nobody bought it.
I think it was just at that time, PlayStation was just a really strong brand. And the developers just weren't giving it enough support.
No.
I mean, Sega, they've supported it with everything they had, but it just wasn't enough. Shame.
Yeah, and it's just, I've still got mine in the attic. I must go and dig it out.
Wasn't that Sega's dying hardware as well? Yeah.
That was the last one.
That was when they went to software then.
Bless.
Well, okay, so now we've got iPlayer on the PS3.
Yeah, there's, I guess that was only 2 weeks ago that the version 3 software came out and iPlayer became available, but already it's accounting for 10% of iPlayer viewing in the UK, which is more than the Mac. Mac's only got 8.5%. So I think it shows, you know, just how big an addition that is.
Yeah. Well, I was reading, was it yesterday, I think they were saying since the price reduction, I think, and it's in the US, the sales for the PS3 have increased by almost 300%. And I think in Japan, it's now the best-selling console.
Yeah, and I think here it was 1,000%.
Oh, that's huge.
Well, if you're selling nothing before, and it's not hard. Mm. But I think it will be. I think it will be interesting. It's, you know, 6 months' time just to see where the overall, you know, percentage of ownership is.
Mm, that's true. I did notice that there are a couple of animated themes now available for downloading.
I've not looked at all.
No. This Wipeout HD theme, which is free. They've got a Little Big Planet theme, which is £1.59, I think.
Sod off.
And then there's, I think it's Motorstorm as well, which is £1.59. I've actually downloaded the Wipeout one just because it's free. It's all right. Mm. You know, it's nice to have the animation, but I prefer just the standard theme at the moment. It's not too busy, and it just, you know, it's nice to look at in the background, but that's pretty much it.
I've not really found a theme that I've ever thought was
good. No, I'm tempted with a Little Big Planet theme, because I've seen a video of that. It looks nice, but maybe I'll download it tonight. See. And then the last item we have in Gadgets and Games is the Zune HD. It's not going to be released in Europe for now.
No plans. And sort of, so there's definitely not in the immediate future, which is quite disappointing. So America are gearing up for their release now.
That was the same thing with the first one as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's ever come over and broken into Europe. Mm. But they've obviously got a bit of hardware, which we're quite jealous about right now. So be good to see it. It would come over here, but this doesn't look like it's going to happen.
I just don't understand.
No, I don't either. They're saying they might be trying to iron out their service over there before they bring it over here, and all the work that involved in translating for Europe.
Basically just saying we don't care. You know, their market share in America is 1%, and I think that will change with the HD, because I think that actually looks a really good product.
There's some big buzz around it as well.
And there's buzz around it. There's apps coming for it. There's games coming for it. The actual front end, and also the music playback on it, supposedly excellent. It's got a browser, and also it has some streaming options, so you can pay a subscription fee and get some streaming music.
I just think if you put a phone in it, and you know, there's an automatic competitor to the iPhone.
Definitely.
I mean, if it's only got like 1% market share in America, then maybe that's the reason they haven't brought it out here. Maybe they were waiting to see if maybe that increases, and then it'll be worth their effort bringing it out here. I certainly hope so, because I think it's good to have competition.
Definitely.
I'm happy to wait as long as they bring out the HD, the Zune HD phone in Europe first. That'd be great.
I think it was, we talked about it a couple of times now, that it's like the competition. I mean, iPhone's been out, it's coming up for 2.5 years, and you're still looking at it as nothing's touching it, which just seems a bit of a disgrace, to be honest.
Yeah.
Did I read correctly a while ago that the iPhone can actually output HD as well?
Yeah, somebody did when they stripped it open, the chipset in it should be able to play it back.
So it's certainly capable of it, but
and somebody did
not without exploding.
Lies. Somebody did some tests, I think it was 2-3 weeks ago, And again, we can probably a bit of Google and dig out the link, that they actually streamed back some HD content on TVs. It seemingly worked fine. Mm. And there was a rumour about this was going to be one of the things that was unlocked at the keynote this week. It was going to be HD playback. Who knows?
I think we're in for an announcement on iPod outside of this keynote, for sure.
I don't know. I mean, it's something that the Zune HD has got panned for. It's called Zune HD, but the only time you see HD is actually when it's plugged into a telly.
But then HD on that little screen is not going to make any difference.
Really. No, but it's just one of those things. It's like they're focusing on it's an HD playback, but once plugged into a telly, how many times are you actually going to do that?
Yeah.
I think if it's an option to play back HD content, maybe more often than you think.
Yeah, but if you've got an HD player, standalone player dedicated for that sitting at home, would you then bother plugging your device into it?
If it just meant it's, well, that's where the dock is and that's where you sit it.
Mm.
Yeah, and the only thing I was thinking, it would be great if you're travelling, but then most of the hotels, the TV's in it are crap.
Yeah, the chance of them having an HDMI port are virtually zero.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's an LCD, it's an LCD that's not HD.
Yeah.
Moan.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of this podcast. This feels like ages.
So yeah, we're not going to do picks listeners. Again this week?
No, we will do.
That's
picks
okay
now.
Then.
I'm just saying the actual sure? podcast.
No, we
do you think
to
people
do
can
picks.
Hang on?
What was that?
Do you think people can hang on?
Oh, surely the picks are the key bit of the podcast. This
do
is.
Do I ungrow out my picks from the?
This is the gold nuggets.
So, Chris, what nuggets do you have for us today then?
Okay, well, my pick today, I'll keep it nice and brief, is Trials HD on Xbox Live Arcade. Woohoo! I think you can get it on PC as well. So this is motorbiking, trying to go over obstacles and stunts, just like Kickstart when you're a kid. I don't know if people remember that. Costs about £10, and it's just highly, highly addictive. It's one of those one more go type games. It starts off really easy, and then it gets mega, mega hard as you go through it. But it's great, and the online integration, for what it's worth, is great. It always challenges you to try and beat your mates. They could have gone a little bit further and had sort of some ghost racing and things like that, but I'm really enjoying it at the moment. And I know, Ian, you played it last night. And what are your thoughts?
I bought it last night under duress. So I've got loads of points sitting there, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to like this. It's dead frustrating. And then bought it and loved it. It's actually really, really good. Really strong arcade game.
And the graphics on it are amazing as well. It just, you know, does everything right. Everything just right.
And I guess the nice thing is you can just kick off a party chat, just sit and play. And it was actually, I mean, an hour and a half just seemed to go in a couple of minutes. A bit like
just
this podcast.
Swallowed up the evening, didn't it?
The time just flies by.
Okay, so, well, sounds great. Maybe I should get an Xbox and play it.
I keep on telling them there's an Xbox in my attic they can have, and it's like, no, I won't buy it, I won't use it.
That's true, though.
Oh,
just because I'm saying I want to play it doesn't mean I will play it. Anyway,
rubbish.
So what what nugget do you have for us, Ian?
My nugget this week is Madden for the iPhone. I really like American football. And I've always liked Madden. I guess the last couple of years I've been a bit frustrated, and I've actually not picked it up on the 360 because it's just not changed enough. You know, EA have been very, I guess living up to their reputation and not making enough change to justify, you know, buying it again. And I don't actually know a lot of people on it multiplayer anymore. So the last game that I actually bought in the console, I was just single player. It came out on Wednesday. It was demoed at the keynote. And I just thought it looked really good. And I guess that, just keep it brief, it's a standard Madden, American football, graphics are good, presentations.
Is it 3D graphics or is it
2D? No, 3D.
Fantastic.
The actual presentation's really good as well, nice clear menus. The actual playbooks are not as extensive as on the consoles, but I think there are enough on the handheld.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that one of the things I really like is it takes advantage of the actual handheld. So on the console, if you're wanting to do a hot route for some of your receivers, you could try and draw a route with your thumbsticks. And it was always a bit awkward, but they're taking advantage of the touch interface. So you can actually say hot routes, and then you can actually draw where you want your receivers to run for that play. And it just opens it up into you can then customize your plays so much more, and it's so easy to do. And for that reason alone, it just really stands out. The only thing one other feature they've added also is that you can actually slow down time. And I actually found myself having to use it because the buttons I've got, obviously it's like virtual buttons.
Yeah.
And they're just too close together on the right-hand side, and I was stabbing the wrong button. It was all happening too quickly. And maybe I'm just getting old. But you can press a button to slow down time. It just gives you time to pick out receiver and then hit the right button, or you know, see who's actually about to tackle you and do a spin move. And I think over time I'll probably use that less, you know, because you will get used to where the buttons are and it becomes an automatic thing. But
it's that lack of tactile feedback, isn't it? That
yeah, and
you
can
almost do with a couple of buttons. Or you know,
you just don't know if you've pressed the right one. You know, and a couple of times with certainly, I think it's with most of the games that use this kind of virtual console type thing.
Yeah, it doesn't work. For
my thumb will disappear off the actual area where they're detecting the thumb, and then you realise you're not controlling them anymore. But
it shows how that's kind of a good point of how, you know, interface properly designed for touch, you know, drawing the routes.
Oh,
is great.
It's superb, you know,
and it's far better than the other options. And then this other option, which is this virtual joysticks and buttons, just don't work.
But in some ways, they've no choice. You know, anything slightly complex, you know, you've got to have this.
I think that's where the iPhone is crying out for some haptic feedback.
Yeah,
it's a good argument for it. Sorry, how much was that then? Did you say?
I think it was a fiver. But while you go through your pick, I can double check on that. But okay. For me, it was well worth it. I mean, I was down south again this week and had two or three games, and it was great. Absolutely great.
Sounds good. I might
No multiplayer, but only single player.
Okay.
And I think they're talking about maybe multiplayer in a future update. But again, I don't know if that was just the Tinternet fanboy rumours or not.
That's easy to say that, and then everyone keeps quiet then for a bit, don't they?
I think I'll just be in next year's Madden, to be honest.
Yeah, you bet. What about you, Shaquille?
My pick for this week is a feature in iTunes which I haven't really used before, even though I've been aware of it, and that is free on iTunes, which basically gives you free content to download every week, I think it is. So every week they have a free single of the week, but in addition to that, they have some videos and maybe some TV specials.
Does it have its own channel, or is it sort of just? It's, how do you find it?
It's right at the bottom of the main homepage in iTunes, and you'll see it says free on iTunes, and then it's a see all button next to it, so you can see everything that's free to download that week. I think it's a really good way of discovering new music that maybe you wouldn't normally consider before. So this week's free single of the week is called 40 Daydream by a band called Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. And normally if I saw it on iTunes, I wouldn't even bother, you know, like trying it out with the preview. But because it was free, I thought I'd give it a try. And it's actually a really, really, really nice single. But what surprised
me... You can always go to Spotify afterwards and listen to the album then, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. But what surprised me even more was the TV shows. Because it's got stuff like Scrubs, like specials, so it's not like a proper episode. It's almost like a Back to Basics promo video. But it's got... have you guys ever watched The Inbetweeners on Channel 4?
Yeah, I'm just realising that there's episodes there, isn't there?
Yeah, the first four episodes of Series 2 are available to download for free. And they're like proper full episodes. They're not like, you know, like little special editions or anything like that. And that really surprised me more than anything. So I just thought, you know, like, it's there and I've never used it before. And I think, you know, for somebody coming in new who wants to build up their library, it's a good way of, you know, every week getting some new content free of charge.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was there, so I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah. And just while we're finishing off on iTunes, it's $5.99 for Madden. And on the actual page for Madden, they're saying it's from EA themselves that are saying upcoming features is multiplayer mode and ability to get roster updates and authentic throwback jerseys. I should have done that with a crappy Yank accent, but there you go.
Sure, you can add that in afterwards.
Nah.
Fantastic, that's us. End of episode 15.
This must be the longest.
Got to be a record.
Oh. I blame the negativity from Chris, to be honest.
I think so, yeah. He's just too hostile.
Is it the negativity or is it just the baiting and then you responding?
I don't think I responded once today.
I'm getting involved in your bickering. So any closing thoughts, lads? My mind is going.
Okay. Any? There was one, but it's more Apple kind of stuff.
Go on.
Well, it was just this. So
that's what we have for you today. Thank you for coming, and we'll see you soon.
And I watched the keynote, and he said that, and he had this little look in his face like something big's coming up.
Yeah. Was and it like glint in his eye, was it?
Just, yeah, it was like that. It was just, I'm not dead. Ha ha ha. But I'm really hopeful that they're going to do something big soon.
He made some big hints right at the end. He said, I'm back on board. We're working on some big projects.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to telling you about them or something along those lines. So he definitely thinks there's big things coming.
Yeah. And even he was asked about what he thought about the Kindle, and he really started to emphasize it's a one-trick pony and all this kind of stuff. And it was like, if they do come out with some sort of, you know, media tablet type thing, to be sure, things like comics and ebooks are going to be centered to it.
Mm, exciting times ahead.
Expensive times ahead.
So anyway, I think we should wrap up there.
Yay!
If you guys would like to find us, you can come and visit us on our blog at digitaloutbox.com. If you have any comments, you can email us at info@digitaloutbox.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter at digitaloutbox. And Ian, say I was really, really interested to find out more about you. Where would I go?
Indie.net.
And?
Sweeper on Twitter.
Okay. Man of many words there. Chris, how about you?
Twitter, CheesyUK, blog, chrishutchinson.org.uk.
Okay. And you can visit me on my blog, which hasn't been updated, at shaquille9.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at shaqn. Do you know what? Before we wrap up, I just realised or remembered something. Tam.
Sneaky
dog.
Forgot all about this.
Do you want to?
No, he's your mate. You know him better than me.
Okay. Well, Tam is a hardcore Windows and Microsoft fanboy.
A bit like Chris.
A bit like Chris, yeah. And he's always, you know, like making little remarks about Apple and iPods and this and that. And was it in the last week's podcast when we covered Snow Leopard?
It was at Snow Leopard. Oh, no, it was on Twitter. It was on Twitter. I'd posted up about the thing I like about Snow Leopard. It's all the apps coming out.
Yeah.
And Tam sent me a little tweet saying, so what apps have been updated? And that just got me twitching. Because I was like, why would you care about apps if you didn't have a Mac?
Yeah, and we sort of mentioned that in our Snow Leopard coverage. I think we said, oh, I bet you bought a Mac and he's not telling us. So lo and behold, he has. He is a proud owner of a Mac Mini. I've not seen it yet, so I'm going to have to maybe go and see or ask him the details about it. But, you know, congratulations, Tam, and hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy our Apple products.
Tam, we have never met or spoken, and we never will now.
You don't know that.
I'm a little bit more alone in this world.
Chris, you know it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, you will turn to the dark side. Anyway.
He's never replied. See, that's a sign.
Yeah.
That's a sign of either boredom or he's twitching.
I'm wondering whether we're going to be finished by 1 hour and 40. We're getting close.
Well, I just hope you minute how long this one is.
Mm. Anyway, thanks for listening, chaps, and hopefully catch up next week.
Ta-da!
Yep, well done for getting this far. See you later.
Bye-bye.
You never mentioned Facebook either.
That's rubbish.
Facebook's out yesterday.
Where's the music gone? Don't forget it now then. Hello, I'm a Mac.